Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Toledo, your host on Dent Time PDR, a podcast about PDR training, tutorials, interviews, and much more. So get something to eat, drink, and start pushing. It's time to listen. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is podcast number 3. I'm glad you can join me. We're going to have a special guest on named Shane Rosas. He's based out of LA, and I did train him in 2012. He's going to talk about some of his struggles that he had during his training, how it was in the beginning, and he's going to share some of his experiences and his advice on what kind of trainer you want to look for. He has some advice on that, and so I'll let him spit that at you, okay? Meanwhile, this podcast is also about giving, too, so I want to make sure that you get some value out of this, whether you are a new tech looking to be a tech or you are a veteran tech. So if you are trying to promote yourself, I highly recommend getting on Instagram. And if you already are, I have more of a treat for you. You're going to want to download this app. Now, it's only an iPhone app, but there's something similar out there, I think. And actually, I know that. And anyways, this app for the iPhone is called Command. And you can also download something similar. It's basically an analytics for your Instagram. Basically, it breaks down how well you're doing on Instagram. It gives you a rating. Like A, B, C, things like that. Things that you should be doing. It gives you suggestions on how to break down your profile, all that good stuff, and your stats and your hashtags and your city and all that good stuff. So get that app. If you don't have it on your Droid phone, then look up Instagram Analytics. There should be something similar to what I am referring to. It's an awesome app. It really helps you dial in and make you a better poster, a better Instagrammer, all that good stuff. So that is something I just thought I'd shout out to you. Every week I will try to find something new, or I'll give you a suggestion on something, how to help market your company just a little bit better. Okay. So meanwhile, let's get into the interview with Shane Rosas. All right, welcome Shane Rosas. Now, if you guys have not heard of Shane Rosas, he is actually a student of mine. I trained back in 2012. He is one of the very few that have only done the 2-week training. Now, you guys out there going, well, how come you offer a 2-week training? Let me get this off for the record. I offer it because there's a few people out there that really want to take my course, but they still have a full-time job and they can't just take the full 4 weeks off. It's almost impossible to get that much vacation time or saved up for them to go. There is an option that they can do the 2 weeks and then come back within 6 months and do the following 2 weeks and pay the difference. But Shane opted he's like, no, you know what, man? I got this, dog. And I was skeptical, man. So I want to welcome Shane. Shane, thanks for coming on, dude.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Good, man. Good. Yeah. I'm glad you are here, man. I'm trying to pin you down like you're wild, busy dog, man.
Yeah, I'm all over the place.
You are. So Shane, like as I mentioned, you 6 years ago, 2012. What month was that? Do you know?
It was February, beginning of February, 2012.
Yeah, I remember it was kind of cool. Yeah. I remember it was kind of cold that week when you first.
Yeah, it was a little chilly in the morning.
Yeah, and you came in like half asleep. You weren't a morning person, were you?
Not at all, man. That's definitely something I've had to kind of force myself to be, because I'm not a morning person, you know, naturally. So I come in there with my hoodie and my coffee and all right, let's go just do this.
I don't know if anybody's actually knows Shane. I know there's quite a few people that, because we go to Mobile Tech RX,
sure,
to Mobile Tech Mobile Tech Expo. Yeah, yeah. There's too many same names. I messed that up last time. Mobile Tech Expo. We go there all together, like me, you, Vinny, right? Yep. Daniel Grom. We all go there. So people from there, a lot of people do know of you, but for people who are just listening, and because this is relatively a new podcast, you are my past student, and tell us a little bit about you. Why? What made you get into paintless dent repair? Why did you choose me? Okay.
Okay.
And then what can you remember about that?
Sure. A ton of people ask me always kind of like, how did you get into this? You know, and honestly, it was just, it really was by chance, to be quite honest. As you know, Mike, I was doing other automotive work kind of as a side gig. I did my fender rolling and all that. So, basically what happened was I was doing, fender rolling, through my forums, my car forums that I was a part of. And, another member had set up like a barbecue event, and I came out and I was doing a bunch of fender rolling for that day. And then he had a PDR technician come out and also do dent repair for the day. And this was, probably 9 years ago, I would say 8 or 9 years ago. And, you know, I just remember seeing the guy, and I was like, what the hell? You know, I was blown away. Like I had heard about PDR, but I'd never seen it. You know, and so I knew nothing about it. And I was just like, just blown away. Like, I was like, that's the, and he was, you know, he was taking some, you know, quarter sized dents out, you know, nothing crazy. And, it was just very intriguing. So I had tried to talk to him a little bit, and he was very standoffish. Yeah. You know, and I was like, all right, dude, okay. So actually I went home, and that day I was like, what is this PDR? What is this dent repair? You know, and I started researching it, and actually went on YouTube, and I think it was actually one of your videos that I had seen, and it was I want to say it was like a Honda Accord or a Civic. It was like a quarter panel dent. It was probably one of your first videos. It was a big quarter panel dent, and I was just like, "What?" Like I was like, "There's people are fixing huge dents," and so I was like, "I want to learn this. This is like I was just I couldn't you know it, was, it just took me by surprise, and I was just like, "That's like that art form. It's like." It's amazing what's possible. I had no idea. So I started a bunch more research on it, and then I found doording.com, which is basically all that was out there that I could find at that time. You know, this is 2000 and I want to say like 2008, maybe.
Oh yeah, so you were already looking, researching this way earlier.
Maybe it was like, I would say about 2008, 2009, right? So there was no Facebook, there was no, you know, none of that was like relevant. Happening yet, yeah. You know? It was dording.com, and, you know, I was doing like just searches on it, and, you know, I find like, you know, some of the mill type schools, you know, Dinking and Superior.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyways, I, you know, finding other things, you know, and then I went on Dording, and I, you know, kind of read a little bit about, you know, what proper steps, you know, someone should take in order to really get into the industry, you know, and how important it is to find the right training, you know.
So it took you 4 years to really do your research, or couple years?
So it took me a couple years, but the main reason why was because at the time that I had found out about PDR, I had my other full-time job, you know, with, you know, where I was doing basically, I was doing accounts, you know, billable and stuff like that through a consulting firm, and I had full benefits and I was getting paid pretty well. And then I had my side gig. So I was like, you know what? I don't really have, you know, the time to invest into doing PDR, and it wasn't something that, you know, like I said, once I did research, I was like, all right, it's a big investment. I have to dedicate a lot of time to it, and right now I just don't have that time. So I kind of put it off. I did put it off. And ultimately, what got me pushed to doing it was I had lost that job because we were contracted with. Los Angeles School District, and the contract that we had got terminated, and everybody got laid off. So after that, man, I was just you know, I was a little bit in a frenzy. I didn't really know what I was going to do, to be honest with you. And, you know, Casey, you know, my wife, she, you know, I had started, you know, kind of researching this again. And that's when I, you know, I found you, I found like Marty and stuff. And I, you know, I started emailing, you know, people and like figuring out like, all right, man, this is, you know, it's a really big investment. I mean, honestly, man, I was on unemployment. I didn't know what I was going to do. Yeah. And, you know, my wife kind of,
Your wife was.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, and it was just like one of those things. I was like, man, I really wanted to learn this. But I was like, honestly, if I do this, it's like I'm investing in everything that I have. Like, you know, I have, whatever I have left saved. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, like, I have no idea what we're going to do. You know, I mean, we had a little. I mean, Scarlett was three months old at that time. And
let me ask you a question. So what you're getting at is like, I hear wife.
Sure.
I hear supportive wife. Is that right?
Sure. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yeah,
because no man or no person or our wife could actually do this job without the other person's support. There's just no way because you need so much dedication and time to develop. You know,
you need that understanding, you know,
if you are married
or, if you do have, you know, other, you know, responsibilities, you do need that support. So here's
the thing, Shane, I mean, here's what I want to get at with this thing too, is I want to bring something up is that, you know, PDR is a lot of more dedication than you think. You can't, a good thing for you, like you couldn't go back to your job.
Right.
This is like a feast or fathom, right?
So that was, like I said, that was the biggest thing was like, all right, you know, I'm just, you know what, I'm going to do this. And, you know, I think because I was so intrigued by it and I was so, you know, I feel like I almost like fell in love with the industry, like just seeing it, you know, like love at first sight. And it was weird, you know, like I had never come across, you know, another like type of industry or anything where I was just like, holy crap, like that is like, I want to learn that, you know? And, so I think that was a huge part of it, you know, and, you know, my wife was just, you know, you're good at all that stuff. You know, you're already, you know, you do all the car stuff already, you know? And, I was like, you know what? All right. You know? And so I just jumped in and, you know, went for it.
Cool.
You know?
But now let's talk about the initial thought of your, was it, now I knew you, cause you're a hands-on car guy already. So sure. you do some like you put what suspensions on and, you know, fender rolling and all that stuff.
Right,
but compare it to PDR, learning PDR, how was it? Mm-hmm.
Oh, completely different. I mean, completely different. You know, I mean, you can teach yourself, you know, you can kind of teach yourself, you know, those types of things. Oh yeah, how to remove suspension. You know, you can teach yourself that, you know, fairly, you know, it doesn't take, it's not, it's
not
much
rocket
different,
science,
you know,
right.
It's, right. You know, so, yeah, you know, I think, I know for myself and I'm sure a lot of people too, they're like, oh, you know, looks, I could do that. You know, just gotta push it out. You know, just gonna, you know, it doesn't look too bad. You know, and it's definitely a rude awakening once you get their first day of training and, you know, just trying to find your tip. Like, what the, you know, and just the amount of pressure, you know, that you need to put on it. And, you know, it's very,
what do you think the hard, well, here's the thing. My new saying for customers and for anybody who wants to train, my new saying is check this out. Dude. Don't confuse simple with easy. Dude.
Right.
You know, don't get that confused. All right.
Sure.
Cause it looks simple, but it sure the hell ain't easy.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So,
yeah,
what was the part during your training? What was the hardest? I mean, everyone says finishing. We know that, but what was, do you remember anything specific?
So I'll say that, certainly finishing. I mean, obviously that's, you know, that is definitely the most time consuming to get, you know, I think to progress as far as progression goes, you know, finishing is like so important and that's something that takes the most amount of time to do like very clean finishing. But I think that, you know, there are, you know, you have your steps of learning. I think each step is its own challenge. So, you know, like, you know, obviously first starting off, you know, it's finding your tip. It's reading the reflection, whether it's fog or whether it's lines. And, you know, that's your first challenge, you know, then it's how hard do I put, you know, how much pressure do I need to push, you know, oh crap, you know, I made a high spot, you know? So I think each step is kind of its own challenge. And at that time, that's the hardest challenge, you know? So, but I think overall, probably, I had a struggle with, like, in the very beginning was just remembering to cross check. That was probably one of my, I think that was one of like my biggest things, cross checking. Cause it was like, oh, it looks good this way. And then you flip it and you're like, oh my Lord, there's still a ton of work, you know? So, you know, honestly, just, I would say Bodyline was kind of giving me, you know, obviously, you know, the more challenging stuff like that, you know, but, you know, I think, as far as like the basics, I think I personally kind of picked them up fairly quickly. I know that the first week went really smooth, you know, and then, you know, the second week was kind of, definitely the more challenging. And, crowns, you know, finding crowns, I think was also another thing.
Anybody, because we got to act like nobody knows what we're talking about either. So, finishing, let's just say finishing is like when you get it down to this last 5-10% of this dent, and you are trying to pinpoint your tool, a small tip of your tool to finish that and basically overextend the dent and finish it out. And Shane's talking about crowns, which is basically the shock wave held in time caused from the impact of the metal.
Right.
And those small little shock waves are very hard to see, but they're also a big part of the formula of making your dent very flat. So that's that's another reason why Shane's bringing that up. It's super hard to identify.
It's putting your light back and you know, not, you know, you're so focused on where the initial impact was, you're not looking, you know, 6 inches or 12 inches away where there might be, like you said, that little shock wave, and you're like, why can't I get this flat, you know? And you know, and you know, there may be that little crown right there that you're just missing, you know. So I think that was
like I said, everybody, you took 2 weeks of training. I personally thought you needed, initially when you told me that, I was like, nah, you're going to need 4 weeks, man. But you were really, really confident in what you did.
Right.
And you were one of the very few individuals that by the time we were done, I was super confident, had a different outlook of the way I thought you were going to do dents. Plus, I think what was helpful too, because I need to tell people, look, it's not everyone is as, shall I say, focused. I'm going to say focused because it's not talent. It takes focus to become better as you. Now you also had, you were thrown into the wolves too, because I set you up with my friend David SOS Dent, which, you know, you're his friend now. You still do work for him today.
I'll be down there on Tuesday, actually. So, yeah.
And David's a body shop owner now in Santa Monica. I've actually did advanced training with him. He's an excellent PDR tech. He just went a different route in the industry. He's got a huge body shop now and he's just killing it. And he doesn't even have time to do PDR, so he hires you.
Yeah.
But he tells you to come over and do his dents for him. And he just says, do this. And it's like train wreck after train wreck, right?
Yeah. So, So after training, I got, you know, you set me up with David and, no joke. I mean, after 2 weeks, I showed up and he was like, all right, Shane, you know, I got the dent for you over there. I'm like, all right, David. And I go and it's like, it's a huge smash. And I'm like, what the?
Yeah,
dude, I don't even like, okay, you know, and I'm just by myself, you know, I'm like, all right, dude. So, man, I would sit there for the whole day and do, you know, one day, you know, and honestly, David really just, I mean, he kind of just let me do my thing and kind of figure it out for myself, he definitely gave me a lot of helpful, you know, pointers along the way. And honestly, I mean, I think he definitely contributed to, you know, the time that it took me to progress to, you know, a higher level. I definitely think it moved much quicker. And I think doing those large dents and knowing that, like, all right, man, this is for a customer. Like, I have no choice but to, like,
make it good,
do this, you know, and make this and do this good. So, you know, I think that pressure and, you know,
I agree, Shane. I think pressure makes you a better tech. It does. Because I tell my students, look, you got your friend's car. Friends are great to work on, no problem. But there's no pressure, right? If you mess it up, they're not going to make you pay for a paint job, okay?
Sure.
But if you get a car, it's the same. You got your friend's car, you know, let's say BMW, you got your customer's car, BMW, same ding, same place. Who do you think you're going to do the better job for, man?
Right. Exactly.
Like, right?
Exactly.
Do you think you're going to do the better job for? You're going to do better for the customer who's paying. Right.
Yeah.
Because you have to be forced to perform. That's the same way, though, is like when you don't have a job anymore, you got to get out. You've got to basically show your skills, man. You got to get out there, feast and fathom. And another thing I want to bring up here, and this is on a very serious note, people, this is if you want to know why people fail at PDR, I'm going to give you their formula for failing at PDR is that they go back to their job and they don't do it enough. They don't go back and do PDR enough. They pay all this money. And that's why I try to screen them. What are you going to do? Do you have a full-time job? Are you going to be able to take time? Because you have to touch a dent every day. Am I not right, Shane?
Yeah. I mean, as much as you possibly can, you know, I mean, I understand if you can't do it every day, but you need to do it as much as you possibly can. You know what I mean? And like I said, I was fortunate enough to work with David. And so I did have that constant, working and, and pushing on a dent, almost on, if not a daily basis, at least, 3-4 times a week,
But Shane, you're not giving yourself enough credit. And this is another thing too. I pushed us on everything. Look, I personally don't want your money if you think that this is going to be easy. So if you want to, you want to come to me and tell me, hey, I want to do PDR and you don't answer my questions the right way. And you think this is going to be some easy piece of cake. Hopefully this podcast is going to put some insight into you.
Sure.
But you've got to be the person that commits and goes and understands that 100%. this is super challenging, right?
Yeah,
if you don't understand that this is way challenging than you think, if you think it's challenging, put 10 times more thought into it. It's 10 times more challenging than that.
100%, and the real world dents that you're going to work on. Yeah. Like you said, they're going to be way more challenging than what we do in training. I mean, you can only prepare, you can prepare as best as you can, but you need to understand that, not every dent is the same. Not every dent's going to be an easy peasy, right there, open, panel, there's so many factors that you have to deal with, when doing dent repair that you need to be prepared to.
There's three factors, right? There's three factors. We're going to get to that, Shane. Okay.
Sure,
you got your, learning PDR. That's the main factor, right?
Right.
And then you got your access to the PDR, right? You don't always have the sweet spot, like you're saying, right?
Yeah.
And the last thing really is obviously your commitment to do PDR, right? Mm-hmm. To make the time to practice and get your, it's not really practicing. Technically, man, you're getting paid to get experience too.
Sure.
Okay. You were with David, 100%. Like you were going out with the customer, you're doing it. Like you didn't know if you could do it yet, but you were going to charge him if you could, right?
Right. Right.
So, and then the fourth thing is how do you get that customer, which we're going to talk about very shortly. Okay. It's the marketing part. Okay. It's today's marketing part. I posted a video, actually, on one of my podcasts. I automatically post now to my YouTube channel now. So anybody who's listening, obviously they can hear this, but on the YouTube channel, but there was a comment that, I'm not going to name name. You can read it yourself, but he really was upset that I was telling people about training. Okay. And he says, it's not like the old days where, you protected the trade and nobody showed anything and yada, yada. Dude, you're talking like 1990s, dude. You know what I mean? Like this isn't about like keeping it secret. There's about how many people, Shane, if you came up randomly and asked them 10 people, how many of those people said, yeah, I know about paintless dent repair. Do you think that all of them would know paintless dent repair?
Or? Definitely not. Definitely not. I would say it's definitely. I would say since I've trained. I mean, this is 2012. I mean, back in 2012, I would say maybe like four people, maybe three, you know, three people. I think more people know now. And I think a lot of that is because of social media and what people are able to share. So I think nowadays, you know, it is definitely getting more well known. I still think there's maybe 6 out of 10 though that would know. You know what I mean?
I said 7 out of 10.
You know, but you know, like you go 6, 7 years ago, you know, I think it was, you know, maybe 4. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't even think we're at the point yet to where, I mean, it's fully, you know, you know, there's still so much to be gained in this industry, I think, you know, that, you know, when it comes to the public and what, you know, I don't think everybody should be so scared. Oh, there's, you know, whatever training, don't be training all these people or, you know, whatever they're saying, you know.
It just baffles me because it's really not about the industry. It's not about all, right. You know, who's like, there's so many different techs out there. It's not what it's about. It's about themselves. It's about,
sure.
you're upset at yourself because there's this person actually made that comment. I'm looking at his profile and I look at, there's no videos he's been posting. There's nothing, right. There's no, you know, nothing about him. So how are you telling me that those things are, that's happening, it's saturated and it's yada yada,
right.
Because if you're not doing your, which we're going to get into right now, mm-hmm. is the marketing part, because that's the other thing. Another thing is, you want to get into this business, remember, you're not just a PDR tech now. You are a PDR, an entrepreneur, a businessman, mm-hmm. a marketer, a videographer, a social media expert. You are everything. Okay. You are no 100%. Longer one job. Okay. You think you're going to do PDR and you're going to make $100,000 a month or a year. Sorry, Charlie, but you know what? Yeah. If you don't want to put in that effort to work mm-hmm. hard to market yourself, then don't do this job either. Matter of fact, don't get into any kind of self business, because if you don't learn those business skills on the social media end, you're dead, dude. And here's another thing too. This is the reason why I got out of wholesale, because I'm still into wholesale. Don't get me wrong. We still have mm-hmm. some accounts. I don't have that many, but I have accounts. Right. But my accounts are 20 years plus.
Sure.
But I personally don't like my future in a manager's hands. You know what I mean? Right. I don't want to wake up one day. I have a $40,000 account. Let's just say I have 5 accounts that do about $40,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, like a group called like Penske comes in, right? And
buys
all the lots, dude, right?
Yeah.
Ownership. And I just lost $150,000 like right there overnight, dude. Because now they want to go in-house with a guy that they don't give a crap if the quality is good or not, long as they're saving money underneath that looks good. So that's what scares me. I don't like anything that I can't control. So in the retail market, you can control that, right? You want to work Saturdays and Sundays? Go ahead. You don't want to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Go ahead.
Right.
But you're in control.
Right.
So that's why I love the retail market. And Shane, when I trained you, did you have any wholesale accounts?
I had zero.
Do you have any wholesale accounts?
I do not have any.
Why? Why would you, right? Why would you?
That just wasn't that just wasn't the route that I wanted to go. You know what I mean? I like working with people. I like the personal interaction, you know, with the customer versus, you know, just this corporate go in there. And that just wasn't what I was looking for. You know what I mean? And, you know, and like you said, you know, it's one of those things where I didn't want to really compete with it when it comes to that, like, oh, okay, I'm going to go in there and try and give them the best deal and give them this and that. Cause like at the end of the day, I can't compete with that when, you know, the way you train and the type of tech that I am, like, I want to do quality work. Like, and if they don't care about the quality of the work, then I can't compete with these other guys coming in saying, well, you know what, I'll just do it for X amount of dollars. Yeah. And they just go in and, you know, and they're just drilling holes and
well, it's not really, they don't care about the quality of the work, dude. They care about the quality of your price, dude, until it counts. Oh man, we got a customer that saw the dent in the brand new car. Now we need you to do your quality. Okay. You know, that's fine and dandy. Now I don't want to bash anybody who's doing the wholesale accounts, people. I don't want to, I'm not trying to insult anybody like that. I just am saying, I'm trying to imply, is that just don't put all your eggs in one basket with that. Right. And it honestly, a wholesale account, if you out of training and you can get a wholesale account,
yeah,
it's fantastic, because it's number one, it's boot camp for you. You're gonna get so many different variations of dents and right. different cars, and you're gonna see a lot of different things about PDR. The only bad thing about it that guys try to do when they get into a wholesale account is they try to be the low baller of the account so they can get themselves in, but you're not doing yourself any favors, because once you get a taste of your retail, once you get a better account, or once you're going to be one of those guys that don't do a good job consistently because the motivation isn't good. All right. And you're going to be joining the forces of one of those guys that just don't put out a quality repair. Now, that's another thing too, is if you do 80, 50% tech, then you're always going to be that way. If you believe me, you might not think that, you might not want to be that, but if you act like that, that's the way you're going to consistently be. So,
right.
you know, be out there and give 100%. So that's something I was always looking at. And I told you that too, Shane. So,
yeah. It's definitely, it has its place, and you know, I mean, it's just not for everyone, you know. I mean, I'm sure we all know guys who are in wholesale who make a killing, you know what I mean, and they're also really good techs, you know. And you know, it's just, yeah, like I said, it's just, if that works for them, that's what they want to do, then you know you got to find at the end of the day, we got to find what you want to do personally as a tech, and you know, everyone has their own has their own path, you know.
Yeah,
so
I agree 100%. Now, Shane.
Yeah.
Now, you've been self-employed for 6 years right now, right? Is that 6 years?
Yep. Yeah. Geez. Yeah. Just past six. Yeah. Just over 6 years now since we trained. So, yeah.
What are you doing? Like, cause you're a pretty good social media marketer yourself, sure. man. So what's going on? I remember you telling me about Instagram, Mike, you're on Instagram. I'm like, yeah, I got a couple, you know, and then you showed me, you're like, bam. I'm like, holy crap, dude. And you're dominating as far as you're one of the highest, people on there. You got a lot of followers on Instagram.
Right.
So how does it work? Explain to everybody how it works. Is there anything that you could give advice and some tips on about how to use this Instagram? And then we'll get into other social media things.
Yeah. I've been on Instagram probably, I wasn't on it at first. I know like a lot of people with Instagram, it was like, oh, it's whatever's, you know? And, and finally I was like, I need to do it. You know, it's a great platform because it's strictly photos, you know,
portfolio, isn't it?
It's a portfolio, you know, it's a social media portfolio. You know what I mean? I mean, like Facebook's great, you know, they're all great, but Instagram's awesome because it's just, it's just photos or videos and content.
Now stories now, right?
You know, and content. And yeah, now you can do stories, you know, and, it's huge. You know, I mean, I will say this, you know, it definitely, in the beginning, it's very tough to, kind of get going in the beginning, you know, but once you get, 500, 1,000 followers, I mean, it becomes much easier to get more followers. And you know, just like with anything, that we do in the whole social.
Why do you want followers, Shane? I mean, are you getting customers off of your followers at all?
I get quite a bit of customers through Instagram, you
really?
Know, and I do, you know, and but a lot, you know, not necessarily like, you know, it's a lot of referral, you know, because what happens is, so like, okay, so I'm not sure exactly where I'm at right now, but you know, like 40, you know, a little over 4,000 followers. So the way it helps is, okay, of those 4,000 followers, how many followers do all they have? So if I post something and you know, say I post a fender repair, well, there might be one of my followers that has a friend who has a fender dent like that. So what they will do is they can tag them in the photo, like, hey, so-and-so, this, your dent looks almost exactly like this. Like, see, like, blow, you know, like, check this out, you know? And, I think that's the biggest help is other people kind of doing that work for you, where they're tagging their friends, they're tagging people they know, you know, because you post a repair or you're posting some content that they can relate to with somebody else that they know or that's similar to theirs. And, you know, just engaging, you know, with your clients too, you know, like, you know, it's cool. You know, I mean, we can all post dental because we want to, you know, look cool with our dent guys, you know, and like, oh yeah, you want to show your repairs, but
I think that's where people make a mistake though, Shane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that right. They think their audience is other dent guys, which it's right. Freaking not. It's great to like, hey man, you got an audience of dent guys.
Sure.
But that's not who pays your bills, right?
Right. No. Absolutely not.
You know, do you make any of your stories like you like do you direct it like you are actually talking to the customer? Because I do. I do it a lot and it seemed it works for me.
I mean, I try, you know, when I do them, I do try. I need to, I don't do them as much as I probably should. When I do them, I do try to, you know, do it in a way that where like a client is watching, you know?
There you go. That's what I meant. Okay.
You know, yeah, not a dent guy. Cause I mean, a dent guy and their dent technician, they know, they don't even, you know, they know what you're talking about already. So, you know, you know, when you're talking to a, you know,
this
client, you
know, is a dent tool,
right? Yeah. You know,
Shane, how is, let me explain something. Are you promoting your Instagram other ways besides just the platform itself? Are you putting it on your website? Do you have, what are you doing?
I do have it linked to my website. What's cool now is that you can link your, you can link your Instagram with your Facebook. So, you know, you can just, it's an easy swipe of the tab to share it. You know, when you want to share it on Instagram, you just swipe, you know, swipe it and it shares it onto your Facebook page as well. And then what's cool is like when it shows up on your Facebook page, it shows that it's posted from your Instagram. So if you have followers that are on your Facebook page that are not on your Instagram, they can click on that. You know, they can click on it and it'll take them to your Instagram. You know, so that's another way. So everything's kind of intertwined, cool. You know, in a sense. But yeah, you know, I have it on my website. You know, I have it through my Facebook. And, you know, those are probably the main, you know, the main
ones. Now, are you an Android user? Or are you,
No, I'm an iPhone user.
You are? I thought you were Android. Yeah. Were you Android before?
No, never. Android. Okay. No.
All right. Well, for you iPhone users out there, I'm going to give you guys a tip here. And if you guys don't know anything about it, then maybe look on your Android. Unfortunately, I've been off Android for about 2 years now, and I don't remember what that app is. But there's an app that allows you to, for Instagram and for anything else you want to do. But I like to, if you guys haven't seen me use like an app where I have a photo and a video in one screen. So you can show like a before and after, but you can have a video at the same time inside of that. It's like a collage. So that's called VidStitch. If anybody wants to learn about that, there are other apps like that, but VidStitch seems to be the best one. They don't like to watermark everything and yada yada, and I don't remember what the one is called for the Android app, so look it up. It's like a video collage. That's I would type that in, but it's very, very cool, and you can do videos and photo clips and put it in your Instagram, and like Shane says, you can tie your Twitter account and your Facebook page, and then it's almost like a Hootsuite where you can just send it off to all those platforms and save a lot of time. Is that correct, Shane?
Yeah. You know, we don't have to, like, you know, you're not posting it. Or I got to post it on Instagram and go to Facebook and I got to post it over here. Yeah. It's just, you share it on one and it kind of goes to the other. So, you know, it makes it very easy.
Yeah. So download that app VidStitch. If you have an iPhone, if you are, have an Android, like I said, look up video collage and you should be able to find something similar, an app like that. And it works hell of a good. So, Shane, is there, let me ask you this. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any paid advertisement? Are you doing any paid advertisement?
I do not. I do not pay
Mofo,
for
you living free. You freeloafer. Dude. All social media.
All social media.
Referrals.
All social media referrals, word of mouth. I do not pay for a single thing. I've done it a few times. I've kind of run a few things and, you know, I just, you know, I didn't really see too much results from it. Granted, I didn't really, you know, dedicate time to it, you know, and I know there's benefits to it. I just, you know, I haven't done it yet. And, but yeah, so I don't really, I don't really think.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What is the most dominating? How, where are you getting your, besides referrals? Okay. Everyone knows we get referrals, what is there one platform over the other that you prefer or that you get, you like?
Social media wise?
Yeah.
Instagram, social media wise is the best platform, personally.
What about your reviews? Anything coming back from your reviews, like Yelp or Google?
Yelp. I mean, Yelp is my number one, source of clientele. Definitely. I mean, I just think so, you know, I think that's separate from the whole social media part of it. Yelp though is my number one source for clientele.
For leads. So. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I'm getting close to 200 reviews now, so.
Hey, trying to catch up to me, dog.
Hey, I'm trying, man. I'm trying. But I still got about double that though to catch you. Yelp's great. You're gonna have to filter through a lot of if you do like big damage, you're gonna have to filter through a lot of body shop jobs. So.
Yeah. I have a quick reply. It says BS.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, obviously it sounds for, you know, BS, but it's basically body shop, and it gives them a quick, because I don't have to type that thing back in, and I just refer it to my body shop. So we'll talk about that too later on. But but Shane, man, I just wanted to, I forgot to mention too, as well, you came, you're in the Dental Olympics a couple years ago. You did pretty well in that, right?
Yeah. I think I got 12th place. So. Cool.
So good deal. So where can we find Shane Roses at? What's your website, dude?
So my website is alloutdent.com. My Instagram is just alloutdent. And then on Facebook, I am All Out Dent and Performance is on Facebook. But my website is just alloutdent.com. Stay with my Instagram, it's just at alloutdent. And that's where you can find me. So, and I'm, you know, based out of Los Angeles and,
Good deal. Any last advice for anybody new that's getting into it? What would you, if you like doing it again, like right now, if you're going to look for another company right now, if Mike died,
right.
What are you going to tell him to, which I don't, what are you going to tell him to do? What's your advice on trying to find a
trainer?
Yeah,
so that's something we were going to touch on. We haven't touched on, but my advice would be to just, you know, try and, you know, get in contact with a handful of trainers. You know, do your research. There's a lot of, I mean, there's so much information out there at this point now. You know, with join, you know, on the Facebook groups and all that. You know, you can find, you know, trainers all over. And for me, you know, I wanted to click with somebody. I wanted to train with somebody who I felt, I could relate to, and who we just had a good chemistry, so to speak. I spoke to you. I spoke with a couple other people, and honestly, I felt, you know, just our personalities, and you know, obviously, you know, we get along very well, and we have very similar kind of personalities, and ultimately, I really liked what you were putting out personally. I mean, just, I just felt that a good connection, and I wanted to feel comfortable training, and you know, that's obviously, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, I want to feel comfortable training. And
I agree. Yeah. Shane, I think what you just said there, and all in all, sum it up for Shane, is that look for a person that you're comfortable with and get to know the trainer, because you're going to drop some coin on PDR. Right.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you, number one, that you have the same wavelength of that person. I like to personally, like a lot of students who come to me, they say, I watched you on YouTube. I watched a lot of your videos.
Right.
You know, one thing I liked is the way you taught. And I think that's very, very important to know. You don't want to train somebody you've never met yet, or have somebody train you that you never met. And you definitely don't want to speak to a salesperson who's not going to, who doesn't give a rat's ass if you make it or not,
right?
You know?
Right.
So you want to talk to the person who's training you. You want to keep contact with them and make sure that's the right fit. So that's basically what you're saying, right, Shane?
Yeah. You know, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, yeah, don't, you know, don't just go with, you know, Mike Toledo just because he's Mike Toledo, you know, talk to him, you know, or with any trainer, you know? Yeah. There, like I said, there's a lot of good trainers, but you know, maybe, like I said, when it comes to, you know, your personality, you know, find someone who's going to work for you personally, because, you know, someone may, you may have a better training experience, you know, with someone with a different personality. You know, not everybody is the same, you know, with training. And, you know, I think that's very important, you know, and, you know, yeah. And as far as, you know, just people wanting to get in the industry, you know, I mean, you know, just again, realize it's something that, you know, you need to be, 100% sure that this is something that you are willing to dedicate, you know, your time to, because yeah, you know, I have like detailers and stuff like that contact me like, hey, you know, like how, you know, can I want to, you know, I want to be able to like offer this a little bit. And I always tell them like, listen, man, if you're not willing to dedicate your time to doing it, like, don't do it. It's not something you're going to do part-time. Like it's not going to work. You know, it's going to take you so long to get to a level where, you know, you're constantly doing, you know, like, unless one of the big things you told me, like when we trained, was like, hey, you know, don't think you're just, everything's going to be gravy dings. You know, like if you really want to progress in this industry, like you need to learn big dents, and you know, you need to do these
different,
you know,
aspects.
Yeah, you know, there's, you know, because at the end of the day, like, you know, yeah, like you said, I mean, unless you're doing wholesale, you know, you're not going to be, most of what we do is not dings. I mean,
no,
let's be honest, you know,
we wish,
you know, shoot, if we could do, you know, 10 cars with dings every day, I mean, that would be amazing. But, you know, that's just not reality. You know, I mean, you need to, you know, you're going to be doing a lot of mostly hard dents, you know,
you need to be MMD, right? Which is, yeah. You remember that? Yeah. Me telling me that? It's mixed martial dents, right? You got to be a black belt in everything you do.
Yeah.
So
find
your weak points, get better at it. So, well, Shane, I just wanted to say thanks. I took a lot of your time already. I know you got two little girls in the background. I got a little girl in the background. So I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man.